Amen. Songs of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 15. Songs of Solomon, chapter 2, verses 15. Catch for us, or catch the foxes for us, the little foxes that spoil and ruin the vineyards of love, while our vineyards are in blossom. Solomon is a lover man, or will I call it a lover boy? And he makes a very profound statement that they are vines of love. You know, in the next verse, you see how that he makes reference of how that his beloved is his and he is his beloved. But previously he goes on to say, the little foxes are the ones that destroy this vine. It prevents the vineyards from blossoming. While the vineyards blossom, the little foxes are the ones that destroy the beautiful vine. We're going to pray shortly. You know, there are things that you have allowed in your walk with God, and they become the reason why you cannot get deeper and do more. Solomon calls them the little foxes. We're going to pray that these little foxes will be exposed. You know, the issue about backsliding and not becoming effective in your walk with God can normally be drawn into little foxes. Little foxes of laziness, little foxes of hurt, little foxes of pain, little foxes of lethargy, little foxes of procrastination, little foxes that come in and they destroy the vine. Every little fox in anyone's life will be exposed.
Amen.
Will be exposed. It will come to your mind that this is a little fox. It destroys the vine of God's love in my heart. Sometimes a lack of devotions. Sometimes it's a job you took, and the job is taking all your time practically. There's nothing for anything aside the job. It could be a little fox. We're going to pray this evening before we get into our short teaching on backsliding, the causes of backsliding. Lord, these little foxes are exposed. Little foxes are exposed. There's a revelation, a spirit of revelation that causes us to see little foxes. Begin to pray. Lord, what is it that is causing me to backslide and that's causing me to move back into the world? That's causing me to, you know, lose out on the passion that... Little foxes that swirl the vine. Little foxes that swirl the vine. Some of you is gluttony. You know, what I'm asking you to pray about is so essential, people of God. I'm telling you, a study on the life of greats. There was a time a great man of God, you know, Kenneth Hagin, received a word from the Lord, and the Lord told him to go and tell another minister of a little fox that was going to destroy his ministry and end his ministry. And you know what the little fox was? It was gluttony. The Lord asked him to tell the man to judge him in his diet. Yes. And he died at the age of between 36 or 37. As little as gluttony and walking in love. Yes. These are little foxes. One of probably the finest miracle workers in their day, the Voice of Healing days. Yes. The Lord told him to go and tell him that you need to judge yourself in your diet. You are eating too much. Yeah. And your diet will affect you. And if you don't judge yourself in your diet and in the spirit of love, you are not going to make it past 36 or 37. And it's true, it happened. Every little fox. Yeah. It was said that even when Kenneth Hagin was going to go, he was afraid that he could get slapped or he could get beaten by the man. Yes. So something as, you know, hidden as anger and hurt can become a reason why somebody does not grow and does not fulfill God's plan for their lives. Yeah, it's true. It's true. Laziness will be the reason why someone will get to heaven, or it will stand before God and God will say that there was an incomplete work that you did. Why God couldn't that do? Not because the grace wasn't given. You were lazy. Little foxes. Lack of prayerlessness, or prayerlessness, or lack of a life of prayer becomes a reason why somebody does not fulfill God's plan for their lives. They will choose sleep over prayer. Yeah. But every little fox is exposed in Jesus' name. Every little fox is exposed. Remember, he will bring it to your memory. He'll tell you, you used to do this, now you don't do it again. You used to do this, now you don't do it again. You used to do this, now you don't do it again. You used to pray. You used to pray with passion. You used to pray with a fervency. But now you don't pray again. Now you don't fast again. When you wake up in the morning, you used to pay attention to this. Now you don't pay attention to it again. You just jump out of your bed, you take your bath, and off you are gone. You see, when you find people telling me that they cannot read their Bibles and they have a too busy schedule, but you wake up to brush, and you wake up to bath, and you wake up to iron your clothes, and some of you even clean your dad's cars or your cars, and then you come and say that between the time I wake up and the time I do the things is too far, but you wake up to comb your hair. You wake up to do makeup. You put your lip gloss or your on your lips. And you have a good breakfast. But you don't have time to sit down before God's word and think on it. Just 20 minutes, 10 minutes, 30 minutes. You don't have that time. You wake up to iron. You have combination dresses. White goes with what? Purple. And purple shoe goes with black. You can figure out all of those things. But there's a reason. There's an issue when it comes to devotions to God. So you realize that all of these things are simply spelled excuses. Because you don't go to work naked. So what time do you use to prepare before you get into work? Every little fox will be exposed in the name of Jesus. God's grace will come upon you God's grace will come upon you to capture these little foxes and get them out of the vine of love. In the name of Jesus. Oh, in the name of Jesus. Little foxes are exposed. Little foxes are exposed. Little foxes are exposed. You know, there's certain times, sometimes in your walk with God, you can get so clumsy. You know, you've introduced things throughout the years, and it seems as though you don't remember. But the Holy Spirit is reminding you of consecrations that you used to have. And it happens to everyone. Maybe you made up your mind that every month you do this, you do that. Oh, every this, you do that, you do that. Every this, you do this. It gets to a time, it gets clumsy, you just walk over. But when these thoughts come to you, don't forget what I'm telling you. It's the Lord removing out little foxes out of your vine of love. Some of you had the passion to be ministers. You have the passion to preach. Where is it now? Where is it now? There are little foxes that are invading the vine. And they will be exposed. So you had strong passions. But at a point in time, it seems to get off. Get back to your consecrations. Get back to the things you used to do. I see God raising strong Christians. Strong. 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 Listen to me. The last thing I want to tell you. Do not depreciate in your zeal, passion, anything that has to do with God. Make sure you keep it up there. Make sure you keep it up there. If you moved out of a city, out of a country, out of a place, make sure you keep it up there. Consecrations with God do not change based on locations. Make sure you keep it up there. God is counting on you to have His will accomplished and to have His will done. So I want to encourage you. These are little foxes. Are little foxes. Are little foxes. And He will bring them to your memory. Those times you used to cry a lot. Now you don't cry. It means something. Yes. What you love, you are passionate about. It's passion in your soul. Yes. What you love, you are passionate about. Those times the gospel was true to you. Like when you hear that Jesus loves you, you can't but think about it. What's happening now? Yes, oh, Jesus loved me. I'm not really sure. No. You'll sober in your bed. You'll be crying, Lord, use me. What's happening now? What's happening now? These are all things we're going to get back at. And we're going to keep. Some have become extra diplomatic. Because of small money you've had. You now come and you are standing there in a kimbo. Pray, you don't pray. Evangelize, you don't want to. Say, I'm busy, I'm doing that. You are falling off. And I can tell you for free, the enemy is responsible for it. He causes your heart to wax cold in following God's will and plan for your life. While it's legitimate to make money, legitimate to have legitimate to have a natural dream, make sure that the legitimate do not become reasons why you walk out on God's plan and God's will. Make sure that that's not happening. Are you going to make sure that that's not happening? Let them be shocked that a CEO in prayer service is a different person. Let somebody come from your workplace and say, "My God." You say, "That was how I was when I was 22. I will not change now when I'm 32. The same way I was is the same way I will be." Don't now grow up and say that, you know, shouting to pray is quite some way. No. The same way you were is the same way you should be. It's proof of the life of God on the inside of you. So no changing. When you have two kids, they should see you do the same things you used to do afterwards. When you have conglomerates, luxurious places, the same thing you used to do, the way you walk for evangelism is the same way you walk for evangelism. The same. He is God when we are great or when we are small. In fact, He is greater than all of us. The same way. The same childlike attitude. The same. In evangelisms, the same. In our passion, the same. In our zeal, the same. When we have children, the same. When we are married, the same. When we are old, the same. You keep it to the very end. That's the goal. Don't forget it. That's the goal, is to remain the same throughout changing times and seasons. So I came for us to pray this prayer again, that little foxes are exposed. It will come to you. Just don't take it for granted. It will come to you. There are things you used to do, things you used to have your hands on. And God will. So the same. The same. See, so we started looking at some of the causes of backsliding. Is this teaching blessing you? Is it helping you? We looked at shallowness. We looked at emptiness. We looked at lust. And then today we are going to be looking at bitterness as a cause for backsliding. I'm sure it's going to be very short. If it's your first teaching, you should look out for the ones we've had already. Those will create very strong premises for your thorough understanding. You know, I heard a story, or I read a story on Facebook quite recently. I'm sure a number of you saw it. And won't mention the name of the man of God. Apparently, the writing had said that, you know, there was this guy who had been very committed to a church, it turns out that his dad is not excited about his commitment to church. And then fights of the guy, and then makes the guy travel outside the country. So the guy sends the guy off the country, outside the country. And then it turns out that the guy gets into a very, you know, interesting lifestyle. And this time the father was begging that they help his son. And, you know, it got me thinking, wow, you actually do not know what you lose out on when you're in Christ. You don't know. The only thing you get to gain, or the only thing you get to realize, is what you get to realize, or what you receive by being in Christ. But I tell you, living in the world and being of the world is a dark place to be. Make no mistakes about it. Is a dark place to be. Is a dark place to be. There's frustrations. There's depressions. There's oppressions. People are plagued with issues. People are sad. Not because they don't have something good. People resort to the use of drugs. I mean, how do you just wake up and you say, I'm not happy. I'm sad. Okay, why are you sad? I don't know. I'm just sad. You know, people are in utmost confusion. I'm telling you the truth. People are confused. People are not happy. Look, let me tell you something. There are some people you think they are fine. If you ask them, you'll be shocked to know that they are contemplating suicide, or they are planning something. Let life just end. Let me just... I just don't know. So let me tell you something. There is nothing to look at the world and be happy or be sad about, that you're not with them or you're not engaged in them and you're not like them. There's nothing. I was speaking to someone one time in the UK, and I don't know, Boyke, is it true that she told me that, I don't know, let me ask Boyke too, since it's also, let me see whether it's true. She told me that almost everybody, not everybody, but quite a higher percentage of people have pills they resort to taking. Depressive pills they resort to taking. So sickness, some way, somehow, that everybody has something in their bags or in their homes or something. On mute. Let me hear you. Boyke, is it?
Yes, please, Pastor. Pastor, please, is very true. A lot of people are sick. Everybody is sick. In fact, everyone has a pill. Everyone has something. Just something about them that is wrong. Yes, please.
Everybody, almost everybody.
Yes, please. Like everywhere I've been, maybe working on a job or going somewhere, Like, people are just sick. They are just taking pills.
Yeah, she told me that. And my heart sank. I was like, Jesus, the people you died for, they are depressed, oppressed. People are sad. People are giving up. People are losing it in their minds. They're just walking about. I'm telling you, if you ask them, if you sit down and ask them, like, hey, tell me the truth. They'll say, hey, it's not, I'm not okay. But look at you. Who loves the Lord? And things probably might have also happened that should have gotten you in the same place. You are jolly, always, you know, people are wondering, like, you don't you have any problem? And you pull out the scripture and you say, oh, see what the word of God says. It says, the joy of the Lord is my strength. And they don't understand. Hey, you try it and see. Sometimes you just need to try small and then you get to realize that it's not like that. Yeah. You say that you're going to stop praying. You're going to stop being passionate about the work of God, evangelism. You're going to stop being passionate about church. You see something, give yourself just, even 1 month is too far. You see that some emotions will start creeping in and you will be wondering where they were all this while. You'll be wondering. You wonder. You were not a quick-tempered person. Suddenly, overnight, a few nights, you are suddenly somebody that is very cross. Anybody does anything to you, react. Yes. It's for your own good, I'm telling you. Yeah. For your own good. I've seen married couples who say that, hey, let's make Christ the center of our home. Let's make the honor of our church the center of our home. Let's make God the center of our home. You see that those married couples, different of them, they would be happy. Troubles come, but they'll be able to solve them. Then there's another one that's, there's always fire, always confusion. Something, some way, somehow. You think if you make money, you'll be fine. You make money and see. You'll be shocked that money without God and service to Him is not anything very good. You'll be very shocked. And that's when you see that somebody will go to the hospital, aside all the money they've made, and there's something wrong. They can't even tell what is wrong. Let me tell you one thing. You are not losing out on anything in the world. You are not losing out on anything. In fact, you are actually being protected from the darkness that is in the world. Oh, some of you would have been hurt beings. You would have been walking with blood bleeding all over you in the realm of the spirit. If not for the love of God taught you, you would have been bleeding, hurt, completely hurt. Beyond repairs, except the word of God is introduced. Beyond repairs. But look at you. Today somebody can do something and you say, oh, it's fine. We've learned the word of God. So let's not hold on to it. You would have been something. But sometimes I keep quiet and I look at you people and I say, these people, do they know what they have been saved from? The word of God and their life of prayer and some of you would have been rat chasers, competitors. You would have been competing with other people right now in life. an empty competition that leads to nowhere. An empty competition. He has bought this, I'm also going to buy it. He has done this, I'm also going to do it. Look, and you will be killing yourself softly, softly, softly. Before you realize 41 years, say, your BP is 181 over this. Before you realize 50-something, you are already gone. So when God tells us to make his word and his path a delight, I'm telling you, he means it. He means it. So you better do not say to yourself that living a certain life is better than what you are having your hands on. Let me tell you something. Let me tell you something. People of the world, you'll be shocked to see that they sort of love the life that you live in God. They love it. Yes. Yes, they love it. They just don't know how to go about it. They don't know how to go about it. When they see you, you'll be seeing them and you'll be thinking they are doing well and they are doing that. When they see you, they'll tell you that we love the way you love the Lord and you're raising disciples. You are all about God. And yes, they love it. They just don't know how to go about it. And some of them are confused as to how to go about it. And some of them don't know what to do to arrive at whatever it is that they have seen you become. While you sit down and you are envying, then the person is saying that, no, I'm tired. So you do not know what you are missing out on. Sometimes you are tempted, but you do not know what you are missing out on. What you are missing out on is saving. You see that void I spoke to you about from the beginning of the teaching? Nothing can fill that void. Yes, nothing except Jesus and being passionate and in love with him. You think that when you get married, your partner will love you, only to realize that when you really get married, you are about to be more lonely. Yeah. You enter and see something. You come out and tell me, Pastor, what you said was true. I thought I'll have companionship, but when I got in, I realized that the companionship is not full as it is. It satisfies an area. It satisfies an area, but it does not satisfy the whole area. Yeah. That's why people get into marriage and they think that the boy will be all over them. And they get into marriage and the boy is saying that, can you leave me in the hall? You stay in the bedroom for a short while. Sometimes you just want to be alone. You don't want to even see anybody come around. You just want to be alone. Thing that is every day they'll be buying you rose flower and everything. So when I get, I'll get somebody to do this. I'll get somebody. Only Jesus can fill that place. So you better make him the central focus of your life. Make him the central focus of your life. So I came to tell somebody, you are not missing out on anything. You are not, take me seriously, I'm telling you. Do you know what it means to wake up and you are confused about life? You don't want to be there. Say, I'm depressed. And you don't know exactly what is depressing you, but you are just depressed. But nobody's depressed in Jesus' name. Nobody. We love the Lord. We're excited in our service to him. We are busy for him. Yes. Yes. We're interested in him. We're unapologetically interested in him. We have a prayer life. We pray for other people. We have a love walk life. We love others. We're not taking things that people do to us at heart. We're excited when others are doing well. And we are doing well too. It's not like we are not doing well and we are doing this. We are doing well too. We're full of joy, full of life. Nothing worries us. Because the Word of God tells us not to be anxious about anything and everything. By prayer, supplication, with thanksgiving, we make our request known unto God. And we refuse to worry about anything. Yes, we refuse to worry about anything. About anything. It's useless to worry. I always tell you, do not worry about anything. Is a fruitless venture. Futile. It's an empty venture. We love the Lord. When persecutions come, the Lord, we stand on His word and we speak the word of God in faith and we keep moving forward. But as for worry and anxiety and being troubled and being, no, we'll not do it. We'll not do it. We have a prayer life. We love others. We love God. We're excited about what God is excited about. You say, by 25 years, I should have done this. No, we don't have that here. In our walk with God, we trust Him as He leads us through the way. We speak out in faith every time. All things are going to be fine. And all things are fine. We don't have that here. But by 27, I should have done this. Nope, we don't have that here. There's no pressure here. We love the Lord. And we yield to what He's called us to do. Yes, we're diligent. Yes, we have goals. Yes, we have targets. We set them and we achieve them as the Lord empowers us. But we are not in the flesh of trying to hurriedly get things done at all costs. No. 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 So you will be amazed of what you miss out on. You'll be amazed. Some of you would have been having sex from one boy to the other. One boy to the other. By now. You'll be shocked. Don't say that me. I was born in a family that did not do this. I was born into a family that did. Some of you would have been doing that by now. One girl to the other. Another girl to the other. One girlfriend to the other. One boyfriend to the other. One relative to the other. Yeah. Molesting people. Only waiting to be caught by the police. But Jesus gives your life a meaning. What a blessing. Yeah. And many of you and all of you in Jesus' name, your homes are going to be blessed because there will be the wisdom of God hovering in your space. Yes. Without Jesus, I'm telling you, you are a mistake waiting to happen. Yeah. Without Jesus, you are just a mistake waiting to happen. It's just a matter of time without Him. So in our conversation of backsliding, there's nothing to go back into. There's nothing. I'm telling you already what it entails. Many of you have broke away from masturbation and all of those things. You know what? That's very dangerous. You can't think straight. You don't think well. You don't have a very sound mind. You see everybody and you are lustful towards them. Your processings are very slow. You are always tired physically. See what Jesus has saved you from. So there is nothing to go into. Don't envy anybody. you have a better life. I told you, we are not of them of fresh water, for dirty water, the urine in it, in the name of Jesus. So we move on quickly. There's no time. Bitterness, another cause of backsliding. Hebrews 12, verse 15. Hebrews 12, verse 15. Hebrews 12. So, in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be undefiled. I told you that bitterness is likened to fornication or adultery. Some of you who think that adultery and fornication is only when you're defiled. Bible in Hebrews 12:15 makes us understand that there is a defiling when a man is bitter. I shared with you a vision sometime back where I saw water praying deeply, and I saw myself stand before water. And the angel of the Lord that stood with me said, "Taste the water." I said, "The water was fresh. Fresh water." As I stood before it in the vision, I bent down and I tasted it. In the vision, real vision. And it was very bitter. So when I tasted it, I said, how can fresh water have such bitter taste? That time I didn't even know the scripture. And the Lord says, this and this and this is making you bitter. You are a fresh fountain. Do not be bitter. If not, you will minister bitterness to people. And I said, I didn't know that. But I saw it in a vision. It was months or maybe years after that I stumbled on Hebrews 12:5 about bitterness. It's like a root that takes hold in a man's life and it makes his life very bitter. Today, there are many people like that in church. They walk out of the church. They are offended. They become bitter. You know, they're probably genuinely offended, but their wounds never heal. Let me tell you something. I wrote on this a few days ago. When we are in church, you must know that we are all men. And so we are weak sometimes. We're frail sometimes in our character. We will do something to offend somebody. Somebody will do something to offend you. If you have not been offended, wait, it's coming. Somebody will say something in a way you didn't like. But you see, do not allow any root of bitterness take its hold in your life. Sometimes the enemy can quell himself like a serpent, encouraging you to separate yourself from other Christians, all in the name of being cautious, you know, and not wanting to be hurt again. It's like, let me just avoid this so that I'm not hurt again. So isolation, you begin to say, no, let me just separate. I don't want to be part again. you just quell out. I don't want to be hurt. The last time they did this, they left me out of it. They said this, they did that, they did it. When I was this, nobody called me. When I was this, nobody checked up on me. When I was this, nobody did this. When I was that, nobody did this. Nobody got that. Because when I needed money, nobody gave me. I wanted to pay my rent, nobody paid for me. Pastor rebuked me, this, bantutabanism, there's nobody, I feel alone, hey, the enemy is working on you. Sometimes you don't know how the enemy works. I'm exposing his trickeries. I feel alone, I guess, and this person. Nobody helps me. Nobody cares about me. Nobody thinks about me. I feel this, that. You feel that. You feel that. So you see that many are not able to heal from their wounds. They're bitter. One time somebody was telling me about how that somebody from another church was bitter. And she was now talking to somebody here. And I told her, I said, even if she came and she said she wanted to be part of us, I will not allow her. Because bitterness is highly contagious. Before you realize she's speaking to somebody and passing it on to somebody. Yes, I will not agree. Go to your former church. Just go there. Go and solve your issues there. Go and solve your issues there. When you have an issue, you solve it there. Here, when you are coming in, you should be happy. Yes. And I watch people who come and tell me that, oh, my pastor, oh, my former church, my pastor is like this, my pastor is like that, my pastor is like that. Oh, now you are the best pastor. You can't fool anyone. No, that's the same way you do to me. Yes, this is the same thing you do. It's the same thing you do. You go and stand somewhere and say, I'm just a pastor. You say the same thing. Because you are bitter. And bitter people like to get other people infested with their bitterness. Yes. That's why they keep spreading out their sentiments. Wherever they go, they want to share it. So I told them, please, just cut every conversation. No discipleship. Just tell her that she should go back to her previous and solve whatever it is she has to solve there. Shouldn't come and stand here and say that this is the church is what go back and solve it there. Yes, do not come and poison bitterness in our midst. Yes. Don't come and make anybody bitter. We are not bitter people. We don't have bitterness. Yeah, what our pastor teaches is what we learn. Don't come and join us and come and say that you and nowadays pastors, no, we don't do that here. So me, I know how to cut people who have, I just despise it and I move forward. That's how you should do it. You just despise people and you move forward. You don't even listen. You don't even listen. And none of them came for my wedding. None of them came for my adoring. None of them came for my this. None of them came for my this. Man, how many of them have you gone? You, how many have you gone? How many have you gone? Yeah. None of them. Bitter. I didn't go for Vadis and Philomena's wedding. I didn't go. Yes, because we had a meeting then. I didn't go. And I couldn't go. Even last week, they brought me stew and soup and everything filled my fridge. I didn't go. I said, Pastor didn't come for a meeting. He didn't come for a this. He didn't come for a that. Yeah. I didn't go. Hey, because of this, you're not coming to that, Pastor. This. Hey. 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 my birthday, pastor didn't call me. I'm sorry. I'm sorry I didn't call you on your birthday. Forgive me. Forgive me. Forgive. I'm your pastor. I'm kneeling down. Forgive me. I'm sorry I didn't call you on your birthday. I'm sorry. Does that make you fine? I'm sorry. I should have called you first thing in the morning. I'm actually kneeling down. You think I'm joking? I'm kneeling. I should have called you 6 o'clock in the morning. I'm sorry. Forgive me. Forgive that I didn't call you at 5:45 a.m. in the morning. Should I stand up? Have you forgiven me? Have you forgiven me? Okay. So I can stand up now. Okay, I should stand up. Okay. You want your pastor to kneel down and beg you before you now say, ah, okay, I'm not bitter. Don't be bitter. Sometimes your pastor is so busy praying for you, and you are using birthday, just birthday calling to now become very bitter. The pastor doesn't love me. He doesn't do that. He doesn't do this. Doesn't do that. The way I see, he doesn't need me there. He doesn't love me. No, let me clear your conscience. I have great love for you. I do. Yes, I do. See, I love all of you like my children. Yes, that's how I love you. Yes. Yes. Except that there is a line to how far I can go. If I see that you're misbehaving, there's a line to how far I can go. There's a line to how far I can give counsel. There's a line to how far I can instruct. And then some are bitter. Bitter. Bitter to the core. Bitter to the core. Refuse to be bitter. And you see, I'm dealing with a case currently. Yeah. Just bitter. Just bitter. Refuse to harbor any bitterness. Your friend, the people around you, refuse to harbor any bitterness. Don't see people and hate them, and you don't like them. No, it's bitter. It stops you from having fresh water oozing out of you. It stops the favor of God, because when you're not sweet, it means you don't attract good things. When you're not sweet. Yeah, you're not sweet. Yeah. And it's perceivable. When you meet somebody who is bitter, it's perceivable. It's an atmosphere around them. Yeah. And it's one of the chief reasons for backsliding. One of the chief reasons for backsliding and leaving church and leaving the ministry is this one I'm teaching you. But like I always said, don't forget, the enemy is against. I mean, he's the one behind this. Why can you not be rebuked in front of everybody? Don't tell me how I should rebuke you. You're not the one to teach me how I should teach you. Don't teach me how I should teach you. You are not the one to tell me how I should raise you up. I'm your pastor. I should know how to raise you. Pastor, you should have called me behind. Are you the one to tell me I should have called you behind? And then you see that someone is bitter. So you are not going to allow any root of bitterness spring up, troubling you, destroying the cisterns that are supposed to be fresh with fresh fountains of water. In Jesus' name, amen.